Welcome to the Citizen Media Law Podcast, providing practical knowledge and tools for citizen journalists. I'm Colin Reinsmith, digital media producer at the Citizen Media Law Project. This week, David Ardia talks about threats to the internet in Pakistan, and I'll speak with Sam Bayard about a recent entry in our new legal threats database.
Reports are emerging from Pakistan that President Pervez Musharraf has shut down independent news and limited access to the internet. Musharraf appears to be using, at least in part, Pakistan's press licensing laws to effectuate this clampdown. Pakistan has a well-developed set of laws governing its print, broadcast, and electronic media. Not surprisingly, Musharraf is using these laws to lend an air of legitimacy to his actions. The Hindustan Times reports that Musharraf has promulgated two separate ordinances imposing curbs on the print and electronic media. The Times also reports that print and electronic media have been barred from printing and broadcasting anything which defames or brings into ridicule the head of state or members of the armed forces or executive, legislative, or judicial organ of the state. The extent of Musharraf's curtailment of internet access is unclear, however, with conflicting reports circulating earlier this week. The Associated Press reported that authorities have blacked out TV networks and threatened broadcasters with jail time, but so far have spared the internet and most newspapers. Other reports within Pakistan paint a grimmer picture. The Hindustan Times reported that several internet service providers were asked to stop their service until further orders. A spokesman for a leading internet service provider, speaking on condition of anonymity, told the Times that they were ordered to stop their services last Saturday at 6:30 p.m., but resumed service at midnight the next day. The Times reports that they are still providing internet access to their clients. Global Voices Online, which provides a useful summary of commentary within the Pakistani blogosphere, advises that, quote, it's time for the Society Against Internet Censorship in Pakistan to be active again. Dr. Awab Alvi, a well-known Pakistani blogger, sets the ball rolling by suggesting that international bloggers be given the right to blog on their behalf, end quote. One of the first things oppressive governments do is take control of information. The internet is a great leveler in this regard, but Burma, and now Pakistan, show us that even the mighty internet has its limitations.
This week, the Citizen Media Law Project launched our new legal threats database, a catalog of the growing number of lawsuits, cease and desist letters, and other legal challenges faced by those engaging in online speech. As many of our readers and listeners are no doubt aware, the individual threat entries have been available for some time. But starting this week, users are now able to view the entire database and search the entries using a number of fields, including location, legal claim, publication medium, and content type. To hear more about the database, I'm joined by Sam Bayard, Assistant Director for the Citizen Media Law Project. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Colin.
What else can people expect from this new resource?
Well, one of the most exciting aspects of the database is the ability that it gives users to create their own threat entries, whether based on their own experiences or something they know about from a friend or a colleague. And for instance, one of our users, who's a blogger named Tabitha Marshall of Washington State, created a new threat entry this past weekend. And we followed up with her and obtained some additional information from her and edited the entry for publication.
Can you talk more about this story?
Marshall runs a blog and website on which she writes about what she believes to be suspicious online job solicitations and other so-called phishing practices. And part of her site is something that she calls the fish bucket. And she describes it as, quote, a directory of companies or individuals suspected of targeting job seekers with deceptive offers. Now, there's an entry in the fish bucket for a company called VeriResume, and that is a subsidiary of Internet Solutions, the company that sued Marshall. Marshall's site also has articles that she's written that relate her research on these job solicitations and also express her views and opinions on these various companies and solicitations. And she's got one article on the website called, quote, Something's Very Rotten with VeriResume. And in this post, she includes a sample email, the kind of thing that they send to these potential job applicants. And she also makes some comments about the company's position on resume fraud, and she provides links to other sites like the Better Business Bureau, where the users can find information on VeriResume and its parent company, Internet Solutions. Several users submitted comments to the post, and some of these comments were critical of VeriResume. Now, Marshall created an update to her post, and she summarized this in other comments as follows. I thought they might be fishers because they don't appear to have a privacy policy, so they can pretty much do whatever they want with applicant data. But one of their employees commented later to say job seekers are apparently baited with jobs, and then once contact is established, attempts are made to try to sell them educational programs. Numerous people have commented to say that they had issues filling out their online application, too, or that someone there dropped the ball on a job lead, unquote.
What was the response from VeriResume?
Well, the details aren't exactly clear, but it seems that on October 30th, a representative of VeriResume, or Internet Solutions, contacted Marshall via email. And this person complained to her that there was false information on her website and asked her to take it down. And it looks like on October 31st, counsel for VeriResume sent Marshall a cease and desist letter in an email, which she actually didn't open until after she was served with the complaint in the lawsuit. Internet Solutions sued Marshall in federal court in Florida, and the complaint alleges that Marshall has, quote, authored, posted, and published, unquote, statements claiming that Internet Solutions, or one of its businesses, engages in phishing or scams or other criminal and fraudulent conduct. And the complaint asks for compensatory and punitive damages, and it seeks an injunction requiring Marshall to take down the allegedly defamatory statements and to, you know, not make these kinds of statements in the future.
What can other citizen journalists learn from Marshall's entry?
It's important in order to enjoy the protection provided by CDA 230 to let user comments speak for themselves. It's just not a good idea to do this kind of summarizing or restating because it opens you up to liability where you might not otherwise have been vulnerable.
You've been listening to the Citizen Media Law Podcast, a production of the Citizen Media Law Project at Harvard Law School's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. To read more about the stories heard in this podcast, visit our blog at citmedialaw.org.